And this is what it says at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 28, as it's found written in Eugene Peterson's The Message. Let me go over again exactly what goes on in the Lord's Supper and why it is so centrally important. I received my instructions from the Master himself and passed them on to you. The Master Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, took bread. Having given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he did the same thing with the cup. "This cup is my blood, my new covenant with you. Each time you drink this cup, remember me." What you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact in your words and actions the death of the Master. You will be drawn back to this meal again and again until the Master returns. You must never let familiarity breed contempt. Anyone who eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Master irreverently is like part of the crowd that jeered and spit on him at his death. Is that the kind of remembrance you want to be a part of? Examine your motives. Test your heart. Come to this meal in holy awe. This is the word of God for God's people. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'd like for us to consider as a subject for that text this evening, not exactly the Lord's Supper. Not exactly the Lord's Supper. It's called the Last Supper. But great artists, known and unknown, have painted pictures of it. Artisans have carved wooden statues to depict the memory of the event. I haven't been in every church, but somewhere in the church there is a rendering hanging to remind us of this meal called the Last Supper. The early church tradition has translated the Last Supper to become the sacrament of Holy Communion. And while the language has changed, somewhat the language has changed, the purpose of and intent of the meal has not. It's still the Holy Communion, or as we call it, the Last Supper. And yet if we look very closely at the reason we're here tonight, we have to admit that perhaps the previous title given to Jesus' new covenant meal might have been an inappropriate one. So hear the word of the Lord. The word says that the Master Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, took bread, and having given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this to remember me." And after supper, he did the same thing with the cup. "This is my blood, my new covenant with you. Each time you drink this cup, remember me." Those are the oral traditions of the church that we've passed down since the night he sat at table with the 12. Jesus told the 12 first, and after Judas died, the 11 who were left sat at table with others and repeated the same instruction to remember. Throughout the centuries, from age to age and generation to generation, the words of Jesus have passed down to us. Now we say those same words. "This is my body. This is my blood. Eat, drink, and do it in remembrance of me." And with our words, we revisit, we remember, and in many ways, we reenact this last meal that preceded the death of Jesus. With these words, we reenact and recapture the passion of Jesus. With these words, we recall and in a small way relive the life of Jesus, and we remember. We remember from an historical perspective, a religious perspective, a theological perspective, and a spiritual tradition that when we do this, we're doing it as an act of love, as an act that takes us once again back into the world of remembering how he welcomed us into the family of God. And yet, for all that we are called to remember, there is a danger in coming to this table of grace. And I know that it doesn't look dangerous. After all, it's just bread and juice. There are no weapons on the table to create harm. There are no knives pointing at us, no swords sitting by our side. And for sure, there's nothing on the Lord's table that looks as if it could hurt us. It's just bread and juice. What poses the danger is the attitude that we bring with us when we come. You see, brothers and sisters, the only thing that Jesus asks us to do in receiving this meal of grace is to remember him. I remember personal things about communion. I remember those Sundays from my childhood when Black women, at least 12 of them, would robed in starched white dresses, and they would line the communion rail and had cotton gloves on, and with military-like precision, they would undress the altar and gently fold the garments and the linens and lay them aside, and then they would replace the small pillows of bread and the empty glass cups as they were used so that everyone could have a part of the meal. Some of you remember that. And then when all had been served and Christ had been remembered, they would take communion, and with the same military precision, they would redress the table and the choir would sing, "Let us break bread together on our knees." Perhaps you have other memories of communion that draw you to the table of grace. Maybe it was the first time you realized the importance of this simple meal, but it doesn't matter. It's a part of our communion memories. The danger that we face is that we allow our familiarity with the meal to cause the meal to lose its meaning. The danger comes when we become so familiar with this meal that we stop thinking about what it really is and what it's really about. We go through the ritual, we say the words, eloquent words that define our theological terms, exactly what this meal is supposed to mean, but all too often our memory never gets past the table. Our memory never gets past the breaking of the bread and the blessing of the cup. And in our failed memory, we forget that we were at the table as the faithless, the misunderstood and misunderstanding, and the betrayers. We forget that we were at the table as those who proclaimed their faithfulness, but later turned and ran and hid from their relationship with Jesus. We forget that we were at the table as those who didn't know what Jesus was talking about and that Jesus was talking about us. In this meal, we're supposed to eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of him who died for us. But have we considered remembering all of the reasons why we should remember Jesus? Because in reality, it's more than just bread and juice on this table. It's his body and his blood on this table. And we should remember this. We should remember everything. His birth and the astounding miracles he performed, or as he would have had us remember, the miracles that God performed through him. They also show up at the table. We remember him walking on water and inviting Peter to do the same. We remember the astounding things he did in defiance of the natural laws of the universe, and they too are on this table. But do we remember all of the times he's forgiven us? Do we remember how he showed us the mercy of God? Do we remember him becoming a servant and washing the disciples' feet? Do we remember his telling us to love one another as he loved us? Those are the things we're supposed to remember when we come to the table. Those times when he brought us through, those times when in our loneliness he comforted us, those times when he placed a hedge of protection around us, when he prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies, because those are the things on the table too. Are those the things that we remember about Jesus? And when we remember those times about his death and how he died, aren't we also obligated to remember his life and how he lived? Because that's a part of our remembering too. We're also obligated to remember those times when our flight and our fear drove us away when we had promised Jesus our loyalty. We're supposed to remember our misunderstanding and our lack of faith, our helplessness and our hopelessness in the midst of Jesus's presence, who was and who is the hope of the world, because in reality, those are things we just as soon forget. We just as soon forget because even in our lives, the shadows of our failed faithfulness fall across this table of grace. Even in our lives, our times, our betrayals, our failures to speak out in Jesus' name when we had a chance to claim and proclaim him and show on our record that we believed. And when we failed, our failures have appeared on the divine record like a scarlet thread on pure white wool. Even in our day and time, we can't come to this table of grace and remember what we've done to our Christ with a clean conscience and a pure heart. It's those kinds of self-realized spiritual indictments against ourselves that we just as soon have forgotten. And we'd like to forget our failures. We'd like to forget our betrayals. We'd like to forget the times that we turned and ran when we should have stood tall. But these words of Scripture beg us to remember. The words of Scripture whisper and shout at the same time for us to reenact this holy sacrament with all of its pieces, the meal that precedes the death of Jesus. You see, church, in our call to remembrance, we tend to always think about us. We tend to always focus on ourselves as the people critical to the human experience. And whenever we do that, we'll always have to focus on the negative. But Christ didn't ask us to remember so that we could focus on our negatives and on our failures. You see, brothers and sisters, for those who lived before and during the Passover meal, the meal was also a call to remember. That first Passover meal was a call to remember. The Jews were called to remember, but they weren't called to remember their slavery as much as they were called to remember God's act of liberation that freed them from their slavery. And just like the Jews are called to remember the Passover and their liberation from Egyptian slavery, we're supposed to be called on this night to remember our betrayal, and not just our betrayal, but as a call to remember our liberation from sin and judgment. Like the first Passover meal, this meal that calls us to remember also calls us to remember the hope that Jesus brings. We're called to remember his innocence so that we can be thankful for our acquittal from guilt. We're supposed to remember this, his humiliation, so that we can remember that we have been exalted because he has been exalted. We're supposed to remember the death of Jesus so that we can remember that through Christ we have life, because God was reconciling the world to himself. And our familiarity and our frequency of taking this meal must never lead us to forget the significance and power of this meal. We must come to this meal in holy awe. To do less than remember all that Jesus has done and all that he is to us is an act of dishonor and disrespect. You see, brothers and sisters, it is the Lord's Supper, but it isn't exactly the Last Supper. So when we eat this bread and drink this cup of forgiveness, rejoice, because this bread and this cup is for us. And we'll continue to do it so that we will never forget. If you've ever been among those who have forgotten why we've come to this place, then this bread and this cup is for you. If you've ever been among those who have done this so many times that we've stopped thinking about why we do it any longer, then this bread and this cup is for you. If you've ever been among those who have eyes filled with tears and all we can remember is the death of Jesus, then this bread and this cup is for you. If you've ever been among those who have tried your best to be faithful and fallen short again and again, this bread and this cup is for you. If you've ever been among those who have forgotten the importance of this Holy Communion, that is our sharing in the death of Jesus and the life of Jesus, then this bread and this cup is for you. If you've ever been among those who have come to this table and stopped short of the nails in his hands and feet and the spear in his side, then this bread and this cup is for you. If you've ever been among those who have forgotten that by his stripes we've been healed, then this bread and this cup is for you. Because in this meal is the grace of God. In this meal is the forgiveness of God. In this meal is the passion and the compassion of God. In this meal is God's powerful act of reconciliation. In this meal are God's words, I love you. In this meal are God's words, I forgive you. Even though you betray me, I forgive you. Even when you don't claim me, I claim you. Even though you dishonor me, I honor you. Even though you're weak, I'm your strength and I love you. Even though you make mistakes, I am your perfection and I love you. Even though you at times forget me, I will always remember you. It's not exactly the Last Supper, but for those who know and believe, it is the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness and just one of many suppers where we remember. It's not exactly the Last Supper, but it is a continual memorial meal to remember until we all gather at the great banquet feast of his victory. It's not exactly the Last Supper, because we'll be drawn back to this meal again and again and again and again until the Lord comes. And that is the word of God for the people of God.